Defence Minister Richard Marles says the US decision to supply Australia with 3 second-hand Virginia-class submarines will save money and make it easier for the Navy to operate. As part of the $370 billion AUKUS deal, the initial plan was for Australia to receive 2 older Virginia-class submarines and 1 new one. This latest announcement has come on the sidelines of the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore over the weekend, where the AUKUS nations also announced a new signature project to develop cutting-edge weapon systems and sensors for underwater drones. Michael Shoebridge is the Director of Strategic Analysis Australia and is a former deputy in the Australian Signals Directorate and the Defence Intelligence Organisation, and joins me this morning. Michael, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks very much, Sally.
How significant is this that we're getting another second-hand sub? Is it good news, bad news? How do you see it?
It's bad news. What it shows us is the Americans are really struggling with their own submarine building and their fleet numbers. They're keeping their newest, most capable submarines for themselves, and that means we're now going to get all used submarines.
We've had a text message through this morning saying, so more second-hand subs, still at full price or discounted? Important to know.
Well, I would love to know that. The Virginias cost about $4 billion US dollars each, if you look at the total program cost. I would be delighted to hear we've driven a good deal and got them cheaper, but I suspect we've driven a very bad deal.
What does this signal about the capability gaps for the US, do you think?
Well, it shows they've got an enormous challenge, and China is outbuilding all 3 AUKUS nations with nuclear submarines now. They've just doubled their production capacity, and their latest Type 95 submarine is a very capable submarine. So the AUKUS nations are really getting further behind the curve rather than shifting the military balance in our region.
What's the problem with the production line and schedules in the US? Why have they been struggling to meet those deadlines?
Well, they've tossed billions of dollars in to try and change the picture, but the problem is the big US companies that make these submarines depend on thousands of tiny little mum and dad subcontractors, and they find it very hard just to double production.
The Defence Minister, Richard Marles, we were talking about cost earlier, says Australia will make significant savings under this AUKUS shift, but we don't know the amount?
I find that very hard to believe. These things are eye-wateringly expensive, and older submarines are usually more costly and difficult to maintain than newer submarines. Remember, AUKUS, we're meant to be maintaining all different kinds of US Virginia submarines in Stirling at the Henderson Maritime Precinct. Why does it matter what flag is on the boat?
The attention of the United States has been firmly on the Middle East and South America in recent months. Is there any indication that attention, strategic and defence attention, is returning to the Pacific from the US?
I don't think so. I mean, the Iran war still hasn't finished. And remember, the US National Security Strategy said the Western Hemisphere is their absolute priority, except for the war in the Middle East. But they're also conducting continued military operations in South America. America's weakened in our part of the world because of its mass consumption of munitions and missiles in Iran.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and you're hearing from Strategic Analysis Australia Director Michael Shoebridge. Michael, the US, UK and Australia also unveiled a new project under what's known as Pillar 2 of AUKUS to develop new weapon systems and sensors for underwater drones. Is that a natural starting point for Pillar 2? There has been some criticism that Pillar 2 has been very slow to get up to the kind of massive development that was hoped.
It's very, very slow. So 5 years on, we've had an algorithm fitted to some surveillance aircraft, the P-8s, and now we hear the start of payloads for underwater vessels. Unfortunately, our Navy doesn't actually operate any large underwater vessels at the moment. It's got some on order, those ghost sharks. But to give you an idea of proportion and how small this announcement is, the UK Defence Minister said they were putting in £150 million into this program. That's about $280 million. Just this year alone on AUKUS, Australia is spending $5.4 billion, 20 times that amount in 1 year.
Defence Minister Richard Marles also talked about the unprecedented levels of cuts to undersea cables in recent months, but refrained from directly blaming any particular country. Is that the right approach?
If you don't name the actor, you're not really going to deter them. They'll keep getting away with it. If someone burgles your home, you know who it is, but you don't tell anybody, they're just likely to come back. So no, I think it's a very bad approach. I get that naming China as the potential actor would be bad for the government because it tells us it's stabilized the relationship and that would show the problem with that. But no, I think clarity in these kind of issues is important for public understanding and security.
How vulnerable is Australia when it comes to subsea cables for things like the internet?
Enormously vulnerable. We've got a small number of cables over thousands of kilometres of seabed. And as we see with the Russians routinely damaging stuff in Europe, they're very easy to damage.
How deep are these things?
Well, they're as deep as the ocean floor, so thousands of kilometres or hundreds of metres, depending on where you are.
There has been some focus with the United States engaged in the Middle East war about what it will mean for its stocks of munitions should there be a need in the Asia Pacific. Some analysts are worried about that. Others say that the munitions are different for each theatre of war. How do you see it, Michael?
Very common munitions and missiles. The real problem is if America was running out in a minor war against Iran and it'll take years to restock to that level, then it simply doesn't have enough or enough production capacity to deter China or conduct a major war.
Does that create a window of opportunity for China?
Yes. Phil Davidson, the old Indo-Pacific commander of US forces, talked about the Davidson window around 2027. Donald Trump's Middle East war has blown that window right off the back of the house. So China now has time on its hands anytime in the next decade.
What have we learnt more broadly of US military capabilities from what has taken place in the Middle East?
We've learnt they need pre-positioned close air assets and that their stocks of their exquisite systems like their missiles and interceptors are quite small and that they have some real gaps dealing with drone and missile combinations defending against that.
We saw some praise for Australia from US Secretary for War Pete Hegseth at these talks over the weekend. If the US is busily engaged elsewhere, is this something of an opportunity for Australia to step up in our region?
Well, if it was, we're not doing that with our budget and our plan. Pete Hegseth was very complimentary about the billions of dollars that he's getting for AUKUS and the fact that American submarines will be at a base we're paying for in Australia. So when you're getting billions of free dollars and able to sell secondhand submarines, you should be pretty happy with that country.
Michael Shoebridger, thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Sally.